Booker T. Washington said something like this. He said, if I have ever done anything that distinguishes my life, I got my guide from my mother. In a much more beautiful way, the poet Washington Irving said, a mother is the truest friend we have. When trials are heavy and suddenly fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when trouble thickens around us, she still clings to us and causes us peace to and causes peace to return to our hearts. Now, let me get rid of some humor. In preparation for my Mother's Day sermon this year, I ran across this little ditty that was entitled, What Mothers Teach Us. And this is a few of the things they teach us. First of all, mothers teach us religion. Very sternly, they say, if that stain doesn't come out of that carpet, you better pray that your Heavenly Father makes it. Mothers also teach logic. Her decisive words, because I told you, that's why. Mothers also teach wisdom. I never got this, but I heard this even in my youth. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Someone explain that one to me if you don't mind. Mothers also teach irony. You keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. Mothers also teach stamina. You will sit there until you eat all your vegetables. And my favorite, no, I've got one other one. Mothers teach the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. And my favorite, mothers teach behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. And now our lesson. It was just two Sundays ago when we had our Easter Sunday sermon. And I acknowledged at that time, though I think we need to preach the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord often, I always hesitate to preach it on Easter Sunday because I don't want anyone to think that we celebrate the death of Jesus only one Sunday out of the year. We celebrate it every time we observe the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's not one of my favorite sermons to preach. But today we will preach one of my favorites, and that is Mother's Day. Fathers, I think we all agree that mothers are vital to the blueprint of God concerning families and homes. I certainly am the first on that list. Mothers can just do things and say things and feel things and be things that we fathers, or at least I, could never do. And society even acknowledges this. And that's why we celebrate Mother's Day one time a year, when in reality, we celebrate Mother's Day 365 days a year. I want to use as our text Proverbs 22, verse 6, though we're going to begin with verse 1. In this passage, Solomon is talking about the value of a good name, really the value of a good reputation. And he says that a good name is to be treasured even more than wealth. And then we get down to verse 6, and he's still talking about family and home and reputation. And we fathers will admit here that the mothers have so much more influence on the children than we do. And Solomon says to mother and father, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Brethren, when it comes to family insight, mothers know best. When it comes to what's best for the family, mothers know best. I grew up in the 60s watching Robert Young play Father Knows Best, but even then we all realized that mothers actually know best. And the reason is they make decisions based on love and not ego. They make decisions based on compassion and not personal desires. So all of us agree, mothers know best how to influence the children, how to raise the children. We fathers need to help her, but the mothers need to take the lead. Now let's think along those lines this morning. When I first started working on this lesson a few weeks ago, I got out my 3x5 index card. That's where all my lessons begin. And I began to list scriptures that I might use, ladies in the Bible that I might use, descriptions and attitudes and aptitudes of mothers that I might use. And I came up with what I believe is rather an unusual way to approach this day. Let me begin by saying this. We live in a war zone. That's what our world has become. It has become a war zone. And what do we need in a war zone? We need a fallout shelter for protection. And mothers, you need to be the coordinator of that fallout shelter. We're turning now to Proverbs 14, verse 26. Here Solomon is writing about life and death. And in verse 1, we see that he's addressing these remarks to women. And if women, then mothers. Verse 1, a wise woman builds her house. And some translations say a wise woman builds a strong house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her own hands. Again, we don't have any problems realizing Solomon's emphasis. It's on building a strong family, on building a strong home. And after his introduction in verse 1, Solomon talks about things that make a strong family and make a strong home. Things like faithfulness and righteousness and godliness. And then he continues this line of thinking all the way through the rest of the chapter. But I want to call your attention to verse 26. The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. And the children will have a place of refuge. The NIV says, whoever fears, and other translations say respect, whoever respects the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Brethren, our children not only need love, they need security. Our children not only need understanding, they need a place where they can feel secure and safe from the harms that are all around. Our children need to know that there is a place that is secure for them, and that place is the home. We can do a lot here at church, but that place is in the home. That place of peace is the home. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who wanted to buy his mother some flowers for Mother's Day. So he saved his allowance, and he went to the flower store, and he bought a bouquet, and he presented it to his mother, and she, of course, was thrilled beyond words. He said, actually, there was another set of flowers there that I really wanted to get, but the sales lady wouldn't sell them to me. And the mother said, why wouldn't she sell them to you? He said, I don't know, they were perfect. There was a banner across the front that said, rest in peace. And you're always asking for a little peace so you can get some rest. Life is also like, I bet some of you thought I was going to say a box of chocolate, but you're wrong. Life is also like a hospital. An emergency room, a trauma center, not only for the medical needs of our children, but even more so for the emotional needs of our children. Brethren, discounting scrapes and bruises and bumps and scratches, even discounting cuts and bones, every child is going to be wounded sooner or later. Someone is going to break their heart. It's either going to be a little girl or a little boy, or it's going to be some of the bullies that push them around, or someone that makes a comment about their height or their shortness or their weight or their slenderness. Someone is going to wound those children. Where are they going to run? They're going to run to mother. If there's a snake in the yard, they're going to come to daddy. But when their heart is wounded, they're going to run to mother. When someone's going to heal them, it's going to be mother. Doctor, mother. And she's on call 24/7. And she needs to realize this. When I was growing up, I had some wonderful teachers in the schools here in Port Lavaca. My kindergarten teacher was Miss Lightsey. I will never forget Miss Lightsey. Now, I was 5 years old, and I thought she was an old lady. I'm 68, and she just died a few years ago, so she was a very young lady. But I will always remember Miss Lightsey. My fourth grade teacher, my next to favorite teacher, was Miss Matlock. Miss Matlock had two other sisters. There were three sisters that taught here. She was the best, but I had the other two also. My favorite teacher was in the seventh grade, Miss Sykes. I think a lot of you remember her. I have to admit, I did have Jerry Dotson. He doesn't make the list, but I did have Jerry Dotson. But my main teacher was my mom and my dad. My main teachers were my mom and my dad, and it should be that way. Somebody else could teach me math and vocabulary and world history. But the important things about how to be a good citizen, a decent person, honest and forthright, I had to learn at home. We're not going to learn it from watching the politicians in Washington. We're not going to learn it from watching New York or Los Angeles. We're going to learn it from our parents. The Bible says the home needs to be like a schoolhouse. Let me read two verses from Proverbs 6. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the ways of life. Brethren, we need to teach our children how to deal with life. We need to be the influence in their life, not Kim Kardashian. We need to be the influence in their life. That influence must come from the mother and from the father. Because our children need to know how to get along with people. And they need to know how important it is to be decent and honest and upright. We need to teach our children values. We need to teach our children morality. And it must come from the home. And finally, the home also should be a worship center. Our children shouldn't have to wait till Sunday to hear about God. They need to hear about God every day of their lives in their homes from their parents. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he complimented Timothy, and at the same time he complimented his mother and his grandmother. He said, and I paraphrase, Timothy, you're a faithful young man. And I know where that faith began. It began in your home with Lois and with Eunice. Brethren, children must know that God is real. He's not a figment of somebody's imagination. He's not a myth or a fairy tale. He is real, and his son is real, and his son will someday judge this world in righteousness. I believe the greatest tribute that I have ever heard from a son to a mother was written by a very, very successful businessman. He said, I am a self-made man, but the blueprints of my life came from my mother And mothers, please remember, the blueprints of life need to come from God. We conclude with Psalm 127, verse 1. I'm going to read from the New King James Translation. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Let the Lord build our house. Let the Lord build our families. And I'm not going to say we'll escape all the problems of life. In fact, we'll receive some problems in life because of that. But when this life is over, we will be eternally glad that we did. And let me say one last thing. We hear a lot of people in society say, oh, I'm so busy. Busy, busy, busy. I don't have time to do this and that. I'm so busy. We hear that in the church. I'm so busy. I'm busy, busy, busy. I don't have time to do this or that. Do you know what the word busy stands for? B-U-S-Y. Burdened under Satan's yoke. But Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's why we extend the invitation this morning. If in any way you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either needing to be baptized for the remission of sins or for some other reason, Lynn, do you mind greeting people? Lynn, do you mind greeting people? Lynn will greet you up here while we sing number 907. We'll sing all three verses. Let's stand as we sing.